Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And good evening and welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Tonight's topic is a good one. Are people born mediums or can it be taught? And I think it even among our group here, Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg and myself, Bob Ginsberg, I think we'll have some varying opinions on that. And maybe those folks out in listener land would like to call in and weigh in with their opinions.
Maybe our own mediums.
Maybe some mediums. Yeah, they may, and we may even differ with some of them. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And before we get rolling, Fran is chomping at the bit to get wonderful announcement out of the way.
All right. So the first thing I want to remind everybody is that when you do shop on the internet, keep Forever Family Foundation in mind. By doing one simple step when you shop, you can financially support the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, without sending us any money at all. Since many of us shop on Amazon.com, using any of the Amazon links or the book links on the Forever Family Foundation website will take you to the Amazon site, and it's the only step you need to take before you start shopping. This will result in a donation from Amazon to us based on a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your cart. So what if you don't shop on Amazon? That's not a problem. There's another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping produces a donation to Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com, sign up, and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. You could do it now. It's free. And just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,500 online stores that you're probably already shopping in, like CheapTickets.com, Lord & Taylor's, Marriott, QuickBooks, QVC, Zales. That's for Valentine's Day. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. The Holiday of the Earth Raffle 2015 is up on the website just waiting for your entries. Win up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation mediums Lynn LeClaire, Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Amy Utzman, and Tracy Bray. The drawing is Earth Day, April 22nd, so get your entries in as April will be here before you know it. And I know everybody on the East Coast is hoping that April is here before we know it. And don't forget to mark your calendars for the annual Afterlife Exploration Retreat in Chester, Connecticut. This is July 24th through the 26th. Watch for announcements on the website. They're coming up soon. And our member-only email will be out with its early bird pricing and our brand new Signs of Life magazine coming to your mailbox soon. So watch that, watch the ads, and get ready to send in your reservations because this is a limited space. And finally, Forever Family Foundation's signature cherry chocolates, handmade by Professor Paranormal at Haunted by Chocolate, makes a perfect gift for you, someone you love, or someone who has had a recent loss and would treasure this special gift from you. Chocolate is the food of the gods, is the food for a healthy heart, and we all know how chocolate helps heal the soul. Watch your emails for the special limited offer. Go to the website before February 8th, because that's the last day we can take orders to get them out in time for Valentine's Day. And all of the links for all of the information we talk about can be found on foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Lastly, if you're a business and interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631 425-7707. All done, Bob. Back to you.
So the topic, as I mentioned, are people born mediums or kind of be taught? And it's something that we've heard people ask and comment on for the past 10, 12 years. I would venture to say that quite a number of people are under the opinion that mediums are born, and there's no way that if you're not a natural-born medium, you can't be a medium, and others will readily say, no, you can. And I suspect that, you know, there has to be some underlying foundation of intuitive ability that you could build on. But a good place to start, and I'd be interested in hearing everybody's opinion here, is that if I asked you, is mediumship an ability, a skill, or a gift? What would you say?
You go first, Tom.
Well,
takes a little bit of thought. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I think it's an ability. In answer to your question, are mediums born mediums? I think, yeah, I think everybody's born a medium, and only the mediums hold on to it. And most people lose it by the time they learn to talk as a child as soon as they go to school and get it trained out of them that's not something that they should be able to do. And so they just shut that part down.
Well, that's an interesting point. So you're saying if it's an ability, by the definition of ability, it's something that you are born with. You know, a skill would be something that you would learn, right?
Exactly. I mean, obviously, anybody with an ability, if they work on it, it becomes a skill. And the fact that you can communicate certainly is a gift, but I maintain that everybody is born with it.
Right.
And not everybody maintains it.
Melissa, you're kind of on the same wavelength?
Well, the way Tom explained it, I do agree with that. I think that makes sense. And especially because what we see with young ones and their worlds aren't as crammed with things, and they show some remarkable abilities. And as soon as you get a little older and your life gets a little busier and different things get in the way, it does seem to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming here tonight, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, yes, you know, all of our mediums, I do think, like the affinity to play the piano, how would that fall in the ability, skill, or gift category? Not everybody's born with the ability to play the piano.
You know, I it's a good point. I mean, when it comes to music, you have to start with something. I know in my own life, when I was in elementary school, they gave me a test. They gave everybody a test. And they said, well, you have musical ability. You're in the band. And then they proceeded to put me on every 7 different instruments, and I sucked on every one. I mean, I was so bad that they couldn't understand. Okay, the test showed that I had the ability, but I couldn't play. And so there's an example of, you know, the teaching. I did have teaching. I took private lessons, but nobody was ever able to get me to play. So is that an? I certainly didn't have the skill. It certainly wasn't the gift, and I don't think I had any musical ability. You know, they were just mistaken. I think you have to have, and I think that if you know, you know, we tend to put people in a class, you know, for music, obviously Tom can relate to. So, you know, we put musicians in a class. So, you know, Tom can compose and play music, but can he play in a symphony orchestra? That's not his genre of music. And people think, well, if you're a musician, you could do everything. Or art, you could be an artist, and you could be great with abstract images. And I ask you to paint a portrait, and you can't. And you say, well, you're no artist, you know. I think that's true even with psychic ability, right? I mean, people have different levels of intuitive ability. But you put them into a laboratory, you know, just because they may have precognitive be able to get precognitive information and images, that doesn't mean that it's going to translate to laboratory, you know, work. So it's interesting. I'm sorry, you were going to say something about...
I wasn't saying anything. I was waiting for you to ask me something.
Well,
you just skipped over me totally.
No, I wanted to come back to you about the ability, skill, and gift. Now, the reason I want to come back to you is that lots of times I don't think that you believe that it's a gift, or do you?
I'm with Tom on the thing, because and I've worked with a lot of mediums, and I've done a lot of studying on the topic, and I know that I've had my own communicatory experiences. Is that correct? So I know how it takes place, at least with me. But I also know from working with so many mediums that it's always different. Their technique for communicating is always different. And nobody has done a study, and maybe Winbridge will do a study, nobody has done a study on natural-born mediums' technique versus taught mediums' techniques. You know, you hear a lot, well, they're showing me a red rose, so a red rose means this, rather than, oh, they told me that the conversation is over and they're leaving now.
Yeah.
You know, it's two different techniques. One type of a medium is constantly hearing and listening and talking to somebody on the other side. And another technique is they have symbols. When they send me this or they show me this, it means this. It means they've set up this quote-unquote library. So there are different techniques. It doesn't mean that one medium is necessarily better than the other. But I think some sort of a study with natural-born mediums versus somebody who was self-taught or took classes to learn it later on might give us some insight into what goes on. But I totally agree with Tom that if you keep practice. If you're going to keep practicing, you're going to get better and better and better at it. And even the natural-born mediums continue to take classes.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to go to a break. But maybe we can talk about this when we get back. But so how do we explain? We know that a lot of really good mediums became mediums in adulthood, that they didn't have these abilities. You know, are they natural-born mediums? So let's talk about that when we come back from the break. So we'll be back in a few. Stay with us. And 3 minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770. 7770. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And at the break, a friend broke out in honor of Tom's birthday, which was yesterday.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Some dark cherry chocolate. Ooh. Made by Lloyd Auerbach and haunted by chocolate. So if you hear any crinkling of tinfoil, that's what that is.
The signature cherry chocolates that are made only for Forever Family Foundation.
Out of this world.
So we were talking before the break.
Commenting on the chocolate first.
Yeah, well.
Did you taste it?
I've had that chocolate.
Tom
and it's
says
wonderful.
It's out of this world.
Delicious.
It's the food of the gods.
Afterlife chocolate.
And chocolate, as Melissa pointed out before, is an aphrodisiac. So it's perfect for Valentine's Day. Get your orders in. On the website, just go, there's a red bar at the top of the website, click on the blue button, and you can put your orders in right now.
I just took a bite. I'm going to have to leave the show.
Are we allowed to actually eat on the air?
I am.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
You just can't drink.
So,
Oh, no.
Who said you can't drink?
Alcohol.
That throws out my whole game plan.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are natural-born mediums, so how do we explain some really good mediums that we know that readily tell us that they became mediums in adulthood, really, or early adulthood, and don't recall, having any skills as a child. But they're pretty much self-taught, so to speak. I mean, but don't you think maybe they were natural-born mediums, but it was on an unconscious level. Maybe they were getting communications, but just didn't.
Well, it goes back to the concept of this was their pathway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether or not they recall having it as a child or not, this was the pathway they were meant to walk as an adult.
You want to take a call?
Sure. We have a caller online, too.
Okay.
Oh,
but no name.
Oh.
Hey, Bob and Fran, it's Brian Kramer.
Hey, Brian.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've got a question for you about this topic.
Yeah.
I want to ask what books or authors you might recommend for those of us who would like to open ourselves up and be more intuitive and even open to spirits working through us.
Well,
I think we did list a couple of books on the website.
On the website, but just
on this show.
The e-book for getting started, I think, and I've read a lot of these books. Janet Nohavik recently wrote literally a step-by-step practice guide that gives you all kinds of things that you can do on a daily basis to help open you up and develop your skills. It's an excellent book, and it's called Where Two Worlds Meet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another one I'll jump in with is Doreen Malloy's book is excellent. It's like the textbook for...
Proof positive.
Yeah.
So those are two excellent books that give some hands-on. Janet Mayer's book is good too. Spirits They Are Present, but it's not it's more of a journey through her her mediumship and her languages and so forth. But if you're looking for more hands-on type instruction, the book Tom mentioned, Proof Positive and Where Two Worlds Meet, are probably the best.
Thank you. Can I just ask one more question about this?
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited about the idea, but I have been raised in a fundamentalist Christian background. And so in your experience, have you met people who have had bad experiences and have regretted it and thought, oh, my gosh, what have I opened myself up to?
When you say bad experiences, you mean receiving information on their own or bad experiences like with mediums?
With spirits. Because it seems to me like not all spirits are good ones, and there's a book called Hungry Ghost or something like that. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I want to. But I just am concerned about opening myself up. I want to be totally open to the positive, but I'm wondering, in your experience, have people had negative experiences as well?
Well, certainly when you talk to a lot of the mediums that are certified by our foundation, they tell us that what they do is that they speak to their spirit guides and they surround themselves, you know, with light, and that they never have so-called malevolent, you know, spirits coming through. It just doesn't happen. Now, somebody just, you know, doing it on their own, you know, I would imagine when you open, you have to learn some technique, I would imagine. You know, there's bad energy and there's good energy. And I guess I'm not the one to talk about that, but I'm sure there are techniques that a lot of people use.
There were all basic techniques of surrounding yourself in white light and asking that everything that comes through, all the information, images, and everything that comes through is only for the greater good. And that seems to be what the mediums across the board will
yes,
teach.
And you will. There are some of our best mediums who, when they describe being teenagers and all of a sudden finding out that they're getting messages and basically understanding that they're being called to the service of the work that they're doing, they're reluctant. And when some of these reluctant mediums early on would be given messages and signs about people that they know and they love that are going to die, and it was very frightening to them and that sort of thing. And so when they resisted the calling, they were shown things that they didn't want to see. But once they embraced it, then, as Fran mentioned, they learned the techniques on how to get positive and energy only, and to keep the negative out. So, yes, there is negative energy out there, but there also are ways to pursue this where you're not haunted by them.
Yeah, I would also add that, you know, especially people that don't expect to get communication, and they do, they don't know how to assimilate it, and there's an element of fear, but it's a fear that's based upon your own, you know, beliefs and your own education, maybe your own religion, and there's a lot of factors that go into it. So it's not necessarily anything evil or malevolent directed towards you. It's just that you start to panic because it's not something that you think you're able to do, you know. So, you know, I think that enters into it as well. A lot of people, we get calls all the time, people saying, well, I'm getting this and I'm getting that. I'm, you know, am I crazy? This has got to be something wrong with me. Or I'm getting, you know, I'm getting this negative energy. So, you know, I think that's all our own doing.
I remember reading years ago of Edgar Casey's concern, because he was a strong Christian, and he prayed to God and said, you know, God, I don't want anything that would be bad or evil at all. I totally want to serve you. And he had this amazing ability, as you know, and he felt absolutely confident that God said, this is for love. This is from me, and this is a gift, and you use it for good. And there was one time where somebody asked him if he would tell them who was going to win the horse race ahead of time. And he said, I shouldn't do that. I mean, that's not what I was given this gift for. And they kept pestering him, and finally he did it. This is in a biography about him. And finally he did it, and he said he suffered from headaches for a year. And he said he just knew that that was God's gentle way of saying, you know, I gave you this gift to serve people. I didn't give you this gift to take advantage of people. And so that was the first time I really opened myself up to say, you know, I think that this can be a gift from God.
Yeah, well, I can't argue with that. I think that, like, intuitive ability and to a certain degree mediumship may not be a spiritual endeavor at all. You know, some people just have that ability that we were just talking about, abilities to communicate or to see a future event or to read somebody's mind, especially when we, I know a lot of mediums are spiritual mediums, you know, and they'll tell you that there is they're told that there's a spiritual element to it. But when you're reading somebody's mind, that may just be another sense, like hearing or seeing, and have nothing to do with, you know, spiritual implications. But with mediumship, you would think that it's a spiritual endeavor, but then we see a lot of mediums that don't seem very spiritual at all, do they?
True.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, so. Brian, thanks so
Thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, take care. So one of the things, like when we're talking about mediumship and being taught, like I just, for the hell of it, went on the internet before the show and I saw a gazillion, that's a number, gazillion.
I coined that term.
Ads for online courses and, you know, teaching mediumship and learning this and doing that and different exercises and so forth. So I think when you combine that with the popularity, you know, that the mediums have, you know, some people are getting into it for the wrong reason. You know, they see, hey, I don't want to be a dental hygienist, but I want to be a medium. You know, it seems exciting, and you know, but if they don't have that underlying, you know, fundamental strong ability, I don't think that teaching is going to get them to where they need to be.
Well, I hearken back to a class that Melissa and I, and Fran, I believe you were in that, with Angelina Diana, one of our certified mediums, did a class. It was a 12-week program where she was showing us how to develop these skills. And, you know, towards the end of the class, I was more taking the class as a curiosity, because I'm obviously very curious in any and all of this, and I want to know what the real answers are. So I came as an observer, but at one class she turns to me and says, okay, now you're going to read somebody. And she got one of the other people in the class to sit in a chair, and then she got me up and she said, okay, now you're going to read her. And I thought, well, this isn't going to go anywhere. But I played along, and the next thing you know, I'm smelling citrus, and we were in a hotel room, and I figured that the cleaning crew had just gone by or something like that, and I said, oh, wow, you know, did you smell that? I thought it was the citrus cleaning fluid, and Angelina said, well, what are you smelling? I said, well, I'm getting citrus, and she goes, well, what does that mean to you? What, you know, when you think here, get citrus, and I think, well, I think of Florida. And as soon as I said that, the woman who was sitting in the chair said, well, I just came back from Florida. And that was the extent of my reading, but I could see that, wow, you know, she did open that up for me. And if I felt that if I were dedicated and did, you know, the exercises and every day doing whatever, that maybe I could have developed that into something.
Yeah.
So I see that as being a possibility. One thing that I have done in recent years is when reading about, you know, calling on the energy of the universe to help you in healing and things like that. And I have been doing in meditating and asking for for the universe, the energy, the positive energy to send me things. And sure enough, in the last couple of years, I have noticed it's working. So I think that we should step back and, again, look at the big picture, that we are spirits in a material world, that we are here as an extension of the big positive energy flow of the universe, and that we all have a connection to that flow, and it's just a matter of tapping into it. And I'm sure the mediums are, that's where they're getting their messages from. So we all have that at our disposal. It's just we have to acknowledge it and pursue it.
Ride the wave.
Yep.
Would you like to take another call?
Okay.
We have a caller on line 3. Hello. Caller on line 3.
I'm calling from Missouri, and I wanted to make a comment on the topic that was being discussed just a moment ago.
Yeah.
About negative influences and positive influences. I've had experience with both. I've had a psychic inclination or talent, whatever you will, all of my life. And I've also, as an adult, sought some training. And I have had a very negative experience of following some of that early on, which I think had to do with the teachers I chose, who I'm reluctant to get too far into their issues, but they, both of these two in particular, were just pretty far out there mentally themselves. They were, paranoid, let's say. And I think that when we open ourselves up to receive information, that there can be a spillover, and mm-hmm. that can affect us if we're really receptive people. On the other hand, I've had teachers that I've had very positive experiences with. And I always pray before I intentionally become receptive.
Yeah.
Well, the praying should be the protection that we were speaking about, assuming that you're praying for that, you know, the higher good to come through and it all.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now,
one of the teachers that I had actually did pray for that, but the man had he was mentally unbalanced, and his character impacted me at that time. But that was a specific case. He was a very troubled individual.
Well, when you open yourself up, you're very susceptible to outside influences. So you have to make sure you're sitting with the right teacher and the right guide, and that you can trust them. We get that point.
We have to be careful who our teachers are. I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Well, thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I think there are some things that I still think there are some inherent abilities that can't be taught, and some, you know, that can. Now, like with Tom's experience, you know, so I can make the argument that, yeah, the teacher it was just a matter of getting Tom to be willing to trust, you know, this inherent ability, you know, that he had.
I need to comment on
that. Yeah,
because I was listening to Tom, too. And my experience, and I know Melissa and I have gone to some other mediums for things, and we watch this same process over and over and over again, which does not seem to really work all the time. In your case, did it really work? Was it coincidence that you smelled oranges and she happened to come back from Florida?
I don't know.
You know, that's like pushing it.
Yeah.
But what I find is a lot of times in these classes that they teach, they'll hook you up with somebody else, say the first thing that came into your mind. Mm-hmm. And by some stroke of luck, or maybe you're really getting a piece of information, or maybe it's just coincidental, or the person's making it fit because they really want to make that connection right away, you get a piece of information that's good. It's happened to me over and over and over again. Nothing majorly significant, but it's happened over and over again. The problem I see with this method of teaching is you've got, and we're going to go with that word gazillion again, the gazillions of people out there that have been taught this method. They hang up a shingle that they're a medium, and right away, every first thing in their mind comes out. There's first things in your mind that come from your mind and don't come from spirit. And yet, they're swearing that this is all spirit because that's the way they were taught. So this is not a good teaching technique for somebody who's not born with it. I think somebody who's born with it, who would go to one of these classes, would immediately be able to differentiate.
Yeah. Well, I think the point of those, and it harkens back to what I was saying about tapping into the mass energy, the universal energy that's out there, is that you have to learn to get out of your own way and let it come through you. And that's why they say, well, the first thing in the mind, don't think about anything, just let it happen. And that's the message, but it's a lot harder to do than it is to understand.
What I've taken away from those workshops, because as you said, we've gone to a few, and what I came away with is that it is indeed that subtle, the connection that you make. I agree with you, Fran, about it being, you know, a little too simplistic. If it were really, like, you know, we were told, yes, that's significant, and, you know, go with it. But I think maybe when mediums do connect with spirit, it is that subtle. And I've said it before on the air, it's not a big aha, wow, but it's just that subtle, the information you're connecting.
Right.
So would you like to take another call?
Okay.
We have Carrie on line two.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Okay. Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm calling from New York, and I just want to talk about having a gift as a child and then going into adulthood.
Uh-huh.
As a child, I used to have imaginary friends, and my mom talked about them very often, and I can remember them. And they were two brothers who told me that they had died, and I had them for a long time. And then through my life, they kind of drifted away, and then I ended up having this other phenomenon where I would see lights out of nowhere, different colors, like kind of like angels. Excuse me. Angels that would pop in and out. And used to scare my grandmother. And then before she passed, I'd say like 10 years later, she said, I'm going to be the bright blue one, and this is how we communicate to this day. So luckily I was able to make that sign with her, so whenever I see it, I'll know it's her. So throughout my life, I didn't really think that I was a medium. I was just always interested. So I had gone to a seance about like 2 years ago for Halloween fun, and during the seance, the teacher opened it up and said, does anybody else see anything? And I ended up seeing a baby crawling around the girl's lap and then being found out that she was named after her older sister that died. And another thing I saw was a nun walking around the room. And, you know, I think your eyes play tricks on you. So basically, I found out that the girl that the nun had been walking around had gone to a college, and she had spent a lot of time with this nun. So it was some validation.
Hmm. So when you had these experiences as a child, how did you integrate that? I mean, were you fearful? Was it something, just an ability that you had that some other kids didn't? Or how'd you deal with it?
Yes. I wasn't afraid of it at all. I was kind of like, they were my friends in a way, and I wanted to take them everywhere. And I wasn't lonely. Like, my mom took me to the doctor for this. I had a lot of things where I would, you know, hear people talking to me at night, all different, and see people walking in my room. My uncle used to call me Audrey Rose, if you ever saw that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And all these type of things happened to me. And then as I got older, they kind of went away. And I didn't feel anything. So when I had gone to this, the lights are daily, even up to today, which I know what they are usually. Like, I'll know if there's like a presence in the room, or it's my grandmother because she's a certain color. So I, after going to that seance and getting the validation, I thought, there's something to this. So I went out to take a couple of classes with Janet Nohavec and one of Lisa Williams' trained mediums. And they told me that, yes, you do have a gift. And the way that I've seen it is, I don't necessarily just get like a rose. I'll get names, dates, times, and you know, like they give me the information and they show up to me as in a family portrait, so I can place who's mom, who's dad, things like that. Hmm. So that I'm still I would never just like for myself, and this is my own I guess values. I wouldn't be the type to go and put up a shingle like some of these people are doing today, because I feel like I'm still growing and I need more time. Even though I've gotten lots of validation, I don't feel ready. And I would never charge somebody something like that, you know. So that's how I feel about it.
We appreciate you telling us that, because you're taking a very sensible and rational approach to this. And you're an example, though, what we were talking about in the show for most of the hour is that you have a fairly strong inherent ability that and that could be honed by teaching, you know, unlike some you know, other people. So
she's borderline on skill at this point.
Oh, that's
she had the ability. Yeah. She knew she had the ability, but then after some training, now she has skill.
That's yes. True. Now, then after comes a confidence, is what I've been told, to just let go of what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling instead of censoring it.
You know what I thought was fascinating in your talk, and you know, the skeptics who think all of this is bunk, that their logical explanation is that your eyes were playing tricks on you. Now, is a rational person going to believe that your eyes are going to play tricks on you? I mean, and that, yet they use that and say it over and over and over as if it's gospel truth to explain what you're seeing isn't really what you're seeing. It's just nuts.
Oh, yeah. My husband didn't believe it either, because he's known for years. And he said, he actually said to me, oh, you just want to be Teresa Caputo. And I said, no, you know, I couldn't believe that. I was like, you know me better than anybody. But actually, he believe me after he's seen some things, like, you know, readings that I've done and work that I've been doing. So now he's just wondering, is this the good in God or are demons playing? That's what the fear he has. And, you know, that and I'm saying, well, you know, I always pray, and that's the type of person I am. I've always been for God, so
right.
I know
and
where it's coming from.
Mentors you're working with, so... You know, we'll expect you to go through the medium certification.
I'd love to in the future. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Keep at it.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
She's really on the right track.
Yes.
She knows how to handle it. She knows how to respect it. She honors spirit. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent, excellent situation.
Did we miss a break?
Yes, we should go to a second break.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back and talk about more about these unseen worlds from no guest this week, but my guest Tom, Melissa, Fran, and Bob.
And our caller.
So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio, and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparizetti.com. That's drparizetti in one word, .com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about are people born mediums or can it be taught? Before the break, we had a caller. Tom had a really good point in that it was a woman who called, and she had obviously very strong natural ability. And when to be a good medium, that's where the skills come in. It's not enough to be a professional medium just with ability. You have to have certain skills. You have to know how to deal with people. You have to know a little bit about grief. You have to be well-rounded, and that's where the skills could come in. This week, because I knew it was a topic, I've been all caught up in this ability and skill and gift thing. And I was thinking, you know those jumble words? Have you ever seen jumble words? You know, the scrambles, whatever. Well, I've always been able to look at those and instantly decode them, you know, and do the word. Like, I go through in the paper, there's five words, and I could do them, like, in 30 seconds, you know, where, so, you know, now some people, you know, could take an hour to do that.
Sounds like an ability.
Yeah, so, yeah. Now, but my point is, it's an ability, but I couldn't teach you how to do that.
Right.
You know, I could, just the way my mind works,
right,
or whatever it is, but it's not. And I used to say, well, I have that useless skill. I mean, it is useless, but it's not a skill. You know, it's an ability because I can't, you know. And then I was thinking, again, I have no geometric reasoning. You know, if you give me a test, you know, like what fits into this, you know, my mind doesn't work that way. I have no ability to do that. And you could sit there for hours and you couldn't teach that to me. So there are certain things that truly are abilities and that you can enhance by learning skills, and there are certain things that cannot be taught. You know, now mediumship, but I go back, I know that we're always saying, and a lot of people are always saying that everyone's a medium. And I agree that everybody's intuitive to a certain degree. I don't agree that everybody's a medium. I think that, you know, I mean,
in the true definition of the word.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, while you were talking, I was thinking, well, yeah, some people are born blind. There's nothing you can do to teach them how to see if they were born not able to see. So with that analogy, I think there are a lot of people probably who were born blind to mediumistic abilities, for sure.
Right. So your
your next door neighbor's kid comes up, or kid, or, you know, young adult comes up to you, and she says, or he says, I think that I'd like to become a professional medium, you know, as a career, because they knew that you were involved in some of these things. So what would you say to that person?
Tom, this actually kind of happened to Tom.
Yeah, in fact, recently we had a teach in a school, and there was one of the students who was in a terrible car accident about a year and a half ago, and he recently came up to me and said, you know, I've been seeing things, and I'd love to sit and talk to you about it. So we haven't had a chance to sit, but, you know, that's something that I'd love to know the answer to this question.
Well, I think the key thing is what he said to you was, you know, he'd like to learn more about it, and that's all cool. What would the alarm bell with me would be, I want to make this a career.
Yeah.
You know, right away, if they're saying that, it's...
They watch too much TV.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the number of people who make a living at doing this, I think, is really pretty slim. I think a lot of people who do it are doing it for the good that it brings, and not necessarily to be Teresa on tour or anything like that. And I do want to put in here that I have seen mediums do wonders for people. Throughout our work with the Forever Family Foundation, I've just been totally amazed by just the healing and the good that it does for some of the people who need it most. Mm.
You guys were mentioning before we went on air, you had a little occurrence that you paid attention to today.
It was really just something, a fluke that we even had the discussion, because I left the house early and got where I was supposed to go and realized I didn't bring my purse with me and my ID or anything, so I drove all the way back home and then encountered Tom, who had been sleeping when I first left. So it was just a couple minutes exchange before I headed back out the door, and he commented something about the vivid dream he had that's been having the past couple of nights, and I said, so have I. We didn't compare notes on what we dreamt about, but just like, I said, mine were too.
And I, for 3 years, you know, I mean, some of the books I've read here about dreams, I rarely remember my dreams, rarely, and I wish, you know, obviously I wish I could remember them more. And I just recently donated some money to a Native American elementary school, and as a thank you, they sent me one of these dream catchers.
Right.
And I was looking, I was cleaning up the house, and I came across this dream catcher, and I picked it up, and I took it out of the package, and I read the whole thing of how it's supposed to work, that there's a big hole in the middle that lets the good dreams in, and then the rest of it's kind of like a web, and the web catches the bad dreams. So they say that, you know, they hang it on babies' cribs and that sort of thing to give good dreams. So I thought, oh, what the heck, you know, I hung it on the lamp near our bed 2 nights ago, and 2 nights in a row, I've had these dreams that I remember, and they were fun dreams. And it was like, wow, you know, I haven't been dreaming, you know, for a year. The whole last year I could remember one or two dreams.
Right.
And now I have 2 nights in a row where I'm getting dreams. And then...
Being opened up.
And I almost had the same thing.
But I didn't know about the dream catcher.
Right.
That was the interesting thing. He knew he'd hung up the dream catcher. I hadn't noticed it. I didn't know he'd just hung this thing up.
A lot of things could be at play here, and unfortunately, we don't have time to discuss them, but it's pretty interesting.
You know, and part of it is not necessarily the physical dream catcher. Again, I'll harp back to my thing, is by hanging it up, I put the intention out there that
right.
I wanted to have these dreams,
right.
And it was answered.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't know. We're running out of time, and yet
right.
we have another caller.
Yeah, we really only have 1 minute.
Okay, then I guess I've got to go ahead and ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need in recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Donna Mello, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel Skandarian, Jeanette Davies, Miriam Pierschka, Julie Bischel, Barbara Petillo, Ann Hutchinson, David Haight, Rita Springer, Mark Barron, Vicki Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Roll, James Rafferty, Arthur and Benice Goforth, Joe, Johanna, Andrea, Richard, Brian, Karen, David Mello, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andrea O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lafada, Wendy Lippo, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Tom Donahue, Doug Berry, and Philip McGee. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.